way of introduction, I want to give you a TV tip. Here's the thing. If you don't like TV programs or films with killing in them, okay, whatever you do, don't watch this, Blue Planet 2. Do any of you see Blue Planet 2? Am I speaking to a few of you and others who don't want to admit it. Blue Planet 2, it's a nature program with David Attenborough. This, if you can see it, not that one, the one before, is one of the stars. This is the giant Trevally. You're taken underwater, so it feels like you get to know this guy. Or it feels like he's a guy, could be a woman. Not really a person, but it feels like all these amazing animals have got a personality. Now, if you can't see the screen, ask your neighbor who can to tell you what it looks like. And just judging from appearances, which we shouldn't normally do, but as it's a fish, I'm giving you a dispensation. Judging from appearances, if this fish had a fishality, a personality, tell your neighbor what you think. Take a wild guess. What sort of a fish this is? Now, I'm going to give you the answer. You've already seen it flashed up inadvertently. If you don't like killing, look away now. You've already seen it. If you don't like it, look away now. But here's his personality. This is the bruiser of the ocean. Pound for pound, the hardest fighting fish, even, for goodness sake, a flying fish who captures birds. It's incredible. Okay, can you put it onto the next one? Okay, that's the PG version. Okay, it's safe to go back in the water now. You see, every species on Earth is a visual aid of one aspect of God's character. Trevallies, they're not bad. They're just doing exactly what they're designed to do. Here's another one, last one. So the other end of the personality spectrum, isn't he cute? A baby seal. If a baby seal had a personality, it would just be so soft and gentle and cuddly and easygoing. If Trevallies had a personality on the spectrum, they'd be dynamic, go-getters, leaving blood in the water, sometimes feathers in the water. Different expressions of God's character. All species on earth reflect God, their awesome creator, in one way, except one species. Except one species, and there's only one human who has ever been and done exactly what God intended. And now God, in the power of his Holy Spirit, is in the business of bringing humanity, that's you and me, in all our diversity in personalities, back to the blueprint of who Jesus Christ is. If these are, can you put on the final slide? If these are like opposite ends of a personality spectrum, from awesome power over here, the fish, to the gentle friendliness of the seal over here, whereabouts are you on this spectrum? Are you more sort of gentle, cuddly kind of type? Are you more sort of power, dynamic, achieving sort of person? Are you by nature, that's who you are, who God made you to be, and nurture, how you are brought up, on one side of the spectrum? Over the last weeks, we've been thinking about the character who Jesus is and who he wants to grow in those who follow him, in his disciples, his apprentices. And his character is called in Scripture, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's a fruit that looks like Jesus, more of his love, more of his peace, more of his joy. Last week, more of his faithfulness. This week, the character trait, perhaps the most misunderstood, more of his, what the Bible calls, gentleness. Gentleness. And what that might sound like is that we're all meant to become like cuddly seals over here. Not upsetting anyone. Not asserting anything, God forbid. But the gentleness we see in God's words, which we're going to see woven into the life of this man in the Old Testament, as in all people who are entering God's apprenticeship school. The gentleness of Jesus we see in God's word, and which his spirit wants to grow in you, is actually neither end of this spectrum, but has the fullness of the best of both. It's got the tender-hearted warmth I'm using the seal as a model for. And the power and the life-changing force of the trevally. The tenderness, the gentleness of Jesus is seen when Jesus is on the cross and he sees in the agony of torture he is going through his mother who is going to be left abandoned, and he cares for her. The gentle tenderness of Jesus is seen when his immense power goes out from him to heal a woman who's been sick with bleeding for decades and decades, and he gently cares for her in the power that heals her. The tender gentleness of Jesus is seen when he turns over tables in the temple. Sorry, how's that gentle? He's just ridden into Jerusalem gently on a donkey and goes into the temple to warn those who are on their way to the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is hell. They are going there. It's very gentle to turn over tables as the warning of a good, good father. For God's sake, change. Enter the apprenticeship school of Jesus. Stop your corrupt ways. The image of God, Jesus Christ in all his fullness, is your purpose and mine. But that image is marred. The Bible calls it sin. And God in his apprenticeship school, in all his tender power, wants to change us. Whoever we are, wherever we're at on the personality spectrum, if we're the more gentle type, his power wants to change us so we assert with greater power in our life the love of Jesus. If we're more on this side, the dynamic kind who tends to do things in our own power, the apprenticeship is often a humbling. Hey, how much does this make sense? Do you need an encouraging to fan into flame? As St. Paul, the mentor of the gentle Timothy, wrote to him, does God want to fan into flame a robust, Christ-like tenderness that's as robust and as sturdy as the cross, that is as powerful as Jesus' healing? Does he need to fan that into flame for you? Or does he need to humble a pride that's just living life in its own strength? Wherever you're at, whatever the apprenticeship God wants to give to you, unless you're Jesus, he wants to do something in you. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come forward and be anointed for the ongoing apprenticeship that Jesus wants to give you. This is the one Naaman gets. Page 373, are you there? 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Okay, tell your neighbor, where is Naaman? Just to check you're with me. Where's Naaman on this spectrum? Is he a trevally by personality, or is he a seal? Just tell your neighbor. What do you think? What sort of a guy is he? What's his personality? Uh, Okay? There is a right answer to this. He's on this side. Okay? Are you with me on this? Is that kind of obvious? He's a commander. He wins victories. He's a valiant man. What's the clue that he's going into an apprenticeship school? He's got leprosy. God hasn't given him leprosy, but God's going to use leprosy. Sometimes illness, crisis, difficulties, suffering are part of the way God teaches us. Have you ever found that? Naaman did. And he's about to enter a humbling season in his life. Look at verse 3. Where does he get the nudge from God's Holy Spirit that God wants to show more of his power and tenderness in Naaman's life? Verse 2, sorry. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Naaman is this dynamic personality. His whole instinct is based on his own power. He thinks he's going to get healing by paying for it. Verse 5. He assumes that Elisha, this healer, the servant girl has talked to him about, is in the court of Israel's king, that he's an important man like he is. So they're equals. As we said, unlike any other species God has created, the human race reflects the whole palette of characteristics and personalities. And Naaman on this side, wanting to use his own resources to get what he wants, his heart is basically full of pride. Did you see that from God's word here? He's just relying on himself. It's a heart that essentially is in rebellion against God. He hasn't realized, verse 1, that it's actually the Lord who'd given all his victories to Aram and his army. He's just been relying on self. You can sing all the worship songs you like. You can go to a house group for as long as you like. You can be a vicar in as large a church as you like. But if your heart isn't humbled, and you don't know that actually the battle belongs to the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God in all its fullness and all its tenderness that he wants to work through his power is going to be quenched in you and me. So Elisha teaches Naaman in the way he needs to be taught. Every great leader in scripture and history goes through this apprenticeship of learning that the battle belongs to the Lord. And those with the personality on the Trevally side of things need that lesson. Do you remember Moses? He's humbled through years of exile in a desert. Simon Peter is humbled through his deep shame and repentance of denying his Lord. Saul, who becomes St. Paul, is humbled by being blinded on the road to Damascus, needing to be led by others. They're all humbled, but not crushed. Just humbled in the school of apprenticeship by a good, good father, the tenderness of God, who knows exactly what you need. He does not crush a bruised reed. He does not snuff out a smoldering candle. What do you need this morning? Is it the apprenticeship of gentle humbling? Or the apprenticeship of gentle encouraging, fanning into flame more of the power of Jesus that he wants to work in you? Look at verse 7. Here's how Elisha is used by God in this journey Naaman's going through. Naaman thinks he's going to get a great reception. But no, instead of that, verse 9. Naaman comes with all his horses and chariots and stops at the door of Elisha's house. But no, Elisha doesn't go. He sends, verse 10, he sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. What do you think of that? If you were Naaman, you're used to commanding people, telling them what to do. What would you feel about being told to wash in a dirty foreign river 7 times by basically a servant of somebody else? Naaman's pride comes out in all its anger. He turned and went off, verse 12, in a rage. You see, the tender apprenticeship that God wants to give to you as he gave to Naaman is to still all the storms of your rage. And over here, on the sealed side of personality, the kind of passive-aggressive ones that nobody notices. And over here, they're all on the surface, leaving blood and feathers in the water. But there's a rage that God wants to heal and replace with his power, his tender power. The word for power in the New Testament is dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. And dynamite, correctly used, can actually do a lot of good. And God is taking out every speck of destructiveness, destructive rage in Naaman's life, and replacing it with his tenderness. And that is what happens. Naaman's servants speak sense into him. Verse 14. So finally, verse 14, he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And the outer change in Naaman of his skin is a sign of the inward working that God's apprenticed his heart. Does this make sense to you? Does this make sense? Yeah or no? Yeah? Okay. You see, whether you're a Naaman, a Trevally, or a Seal, it doesn't matter. God's apprenticing you that his power, all his power, in all its tenderness, should grow in us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We should all of us carry around signs like you see after roadworks that say, construction work in progress. Thank you for your patience. You ever seen those signs? We should all carry them. Naaman is a work in progress. So are you. In a moment, I'm going to ask anyone with whom this resonates to come forward and to receive, as we sometimes do, an anointing with oil. Whether you need an anointing for the encouragement, a fan into flame, a greater passion of God, that gentleness in all its power can be evident in you. Or whether you need to be changed like Naaman was, from no longer living in your own strength, but knowing the battle belongs to the Lord, and anointing for that. In this crazy city of London, this beautiful city of London which we lead, we need God's help with our apprenticeship. But I finish with this. You've all got your own seasons of apprenticeship in seasons of crisis. One of mine was in 2004. I was in Crawley, running a parish of 4 churches. And through a bit of a mess, against my better judgment, against the advice of my wife as well, I agreed to take on the work of another church. You see, in each of the 4 churches, there was 1 vicar. I had 1, 3 others had 1. But I agreed to take on another one. It's a bit like if you're on a running machine and you suddenly ratchet up the speed. You've got to change some other things in your life. But I just thought, well, I'll run a bit faster. I'm sure it'll be fine. Has God ever called you to take on extra responsibility? Sometimes it's really of God. He calls you to. But you've got to be very careful if you take on extra stuff, that the battle belongs to the Lord and you're doing it in God's strength, and you've probably got to stop some other things. Well, I didn't. I just carried on with two churches and just ran a bit faster. And here's what I didn't notice, but what was happening. The fruit of the Spirit just slowly but surely just went out of my life. And other people noticed. I didn't really, until one day I rang Sandra, who was on our preaching rota, and Sandra answered me with these words, Jonathan, what can I do for you? Innocent question. But it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, every conversation you've had in the last months has been because you want somebody to do something for you. Did you know what I mean? Did you know what I mean? The only thing that I wanted from other people was that they could do something to help me, because I'm running so fast. There was no love or joy or peace or patience or goodness or kindness. And it suddenly hit me, I am getting less and less like Jesus every day. And the gentle tenderness of God needed to take me out of that situation. You see, it was Jesus saying to me, you think you're running your churches, but they're not yours. It's my church, says Jesus. I'm building it. And I'm building it with human beings, not human doings. The battle belongs to me. I'm inviting you to receive God's anointing this morning for the apprenticeship that he started in you. Whether that's a firing up of encouragement of the Holy Spirit for you to assert once again the love of Jesus, or whether it's for you, like it was for me then, a gentle humbling and bowing down to the power of Jesus, the place where Naaman actually gets to, when he comes back to Elisha and acknowledges that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord who's healed him. And even though he's not perfect, he's not who he was. And he's on a journey, as you and I are, so that Elisha can say to him, verse 19, go in peace. When you leave this church, you're invited to go in peace, in the knowledge that you have a good, good father, who's gently and powerfully transforming you. As the worship band come forward, would you like to stand? And I'm simply going to pray that whatever God is doing in your life, whether you've noticed it or not, that you'd we would let him do it. We can trust him. And if you'd like to receive the anointing I mentioned, you can come forward and I'll pray for you, that God's power and tenderness would grow in you. And if you'd like to be prayed for something specific, our prayer ministry team will do that. So they'll be in the usual place on my left. Pray into any situation where you're either burning up or burning out. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the amazing calling you've put on our lives. To be images of you. We are so sorry that we have marred that image. We are not who we should be. But by the grace of God and the power of Jesus, who died for every one of us on the cross and in power was risen again, you are at work in your apprentices. Lord Jesus, I'm your apprentice, a learner from you. Would you keep working in me? In the power of of your Spirit. I entrust my heart to you. Please shape my heart that the fruit of your tender, gentle heartedness in all its power might grow in me. In Jesus' name.